You're listening to the Experience Points Podcast, episode number 160 for the week of February 22nd, 2012.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points Podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
I am George Albor.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a website created and dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of games and culture. It's a podcast for gamers.
It is.
Or is it? That's the topic at hand today.
Low-hanging fruit, come on.
I just had to get that one in there. It'll set the tone for the rest of the conversation.
Okay, good.
Because we found an article today. It's a recent article from Killscreen, the online version of Killscreen, by Jason Johnson. It's called "Will the Real Gamer Please Stand Up?" And it's basically an exploration of where that term gamer comes from, what it means, what it might mean going forward, and how closely we should or we do relate to it as video game players ourselves. We're pretty into those video games over here, so we decided it would be an interesting topic to chat about for a little bit.
And I love the fact that Johnson goes into the history a little bit, because He brings up the term gamester, which I kind of miss. I want that term instead, because it implies the sort of almost risk-taking adventurer, maybe a gambler a little bit, but I'm just thinking Han Solo-like.
The "ster" suffix is always makes everything more interesting, you know, like a prankster or a trickster or something like that. You know?
Definitely. So I go back and forth on this subject, and there have been a few articles besides this one that have asked for us to just remove the term gamer from our vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back and forth. I'm not entirely convinced it's a completely useless term. And mm-hmm. I'm not entirely convinced that the reasons we're getting rid of it are good reasons.
Okay. Well, let's start on the positive side. Like, what is useful about referring to video game players as gamers?
Well, it's hard, because part of it is just coming from this, I guess it's habit, right? We mm-hmm. use it because it's a really convenient way to name the audience that we're speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when do you and I use the term gamer? Well, sometimes in the articles I write, I use the term gamer.
Yeah.
And I always feel a little dirty about it. But it's generally useful when I'm trying to describe the differentiation between someone who takes gaming very seriously, or they play it as a, you know, part of their sort of core identity, versus someone who's just picking up the game on the weekend, or maybe they're a casual gamer, as the other sort of controversial tone
mm-hmm.
term. And so I think on occasion it's very useful for differentiating between the two, right? A gamer is someone who is, at least by using that term, constructed by the very act of playing games.
Mm. It's so convenient as shorthand.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you save yourself a paragraph worth of explanation if you just use that one little word.
Right. And the other thing is, I think that we have to ask ourselves whether or not the term, or whether or not there are any safe assumptions for people who play games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for the people who are becoming a new and growing part of gamer culture, if you will, the people who are those new casual gamers, or the people who are playing all sorts of crazy new games, maybe they only play indie games, maybe they only play games on their iPhone, it's becoming very hard to make a compelling argument that there's something that we all share.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I also sometimes go against it, because I'm not entirely sure there is some safe assumption we could make.
Mm-hmm. I think recently I've been moving away from it. Mm-hmm. I notice myself in conversations and in writing using the term player more often than gamer.
Yes, yeah.
Precisely because of the cultural connotations that we were talking about. I mean, because even non-gamers know the word gamer, and they have an idea of what that means, I feel like.
But is that a good enough reason to just abandon the term?
Well, I mean, the reason why I tried to move away from it is for the exact reasons that he start that Jason Johnson cites in the article. I mean, you know, the most extreme obviously is like the Spike Video Game TV Awards, where it's like Gamer God of the Year 2011, and like, you know, oh, here's someone, if you talk too long for your acceptance speech, someone will teabag you. Ah, you know, like, yeah, it's like everyone.
Well, we all love teabagging, of course.
I mean, we're gamers, you know, like. But I think even people who don't play a lot of video games, like, you know, traditional core first-person shooter style video games, they know that term gamer because, you know, there's enough stuff in popular culture. Like, they saw a CSI once where there was a gamer conspiracy or something. Like, that term has kind of seeped into general knowledge, and the connotations of that term that connect it to the Spike version of gamer. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's ubiquitous enough that people, if I mention that, people will know what I'm talking about, and I don't want them to think that, basically.
Yeah, but then aren't you just sort of succumbing to that pressure? Like, can't we just sort of redefine the term to start excluding those sorts of stereotypes?
Is it we're going to reclaim the word?
I mean, yes, I think we should reclaim the word to some extent. Well, and then the other thing is, in terms of the Spike TV thing, if we were to say, we think that the term gamer is useful because it makes this collective group of individuals who consume games, right? Mm-hmm. And that maybe the people who do that are a big enough market that what that culture is like, or what a sort of majority of people that make up that consumer group are like, makes a difference, right? Mm-hmm. Then if we try to say, oh, well, let's distance ourselves from the type of gamer that Spike TV says is the type of gamer, then mm-hmm. we're just sort of cutting off a reality. Like, we can't deny it. If the term gamer is useful at all, then we mm-hmm. have to include the type of gamer who likes to teabag people. Like, they're part of the community too. Or even if you're just looking at one game, right? Like, there are people who play Call of Duty who are not total assholes. And then there are other absolute assholes who play Call of Duty. They're part of the same community. We have to confront that at some point.
Yeah, I guess so. But I just feel like there are some people, you know, like, you can bro out and play Halo and stuff all day, which, you know what, if I had the choice, I would play Halo all day, but I wouldn't, I would like to think that I wouldn't be a jerk about it. Like, you know, I knew people in college that, you know, were way cooler than me, you know, in a mainstream sense. Like, they lived in frats and, like, they went to cool parties and stuff, but, like, they were also way better at Halo than I was.
Yeah, but getting rid of the term isn't going to make the people who are assholes stop being assholes.
Yeah, but getting rid of the term will kind of just, I feel,
disassociate what you do with what
exactly, because even though there's a lot of people out there that are better than me at certain, you know, at certain games, I would still be considered more of a gamer than them just because of the amount of games, the variety of games that I play, the level of knowledge that I have about those games, and the level of knowledge I have about the medium in general, like how central it is to my life. That I am more of a gamer, but the people that kind of define what gamer means are further away from what I am.
You know? Maybe that's because you're so scared of claiming that title. Like, you could be the shining beacon, Scott. You could be like, look at me, I'm a gamer, and I got a job, I'm married, look at me, I go outside. Like, there's all sorts of stereotypes you and I break, and many of our listeners and tons of other gamers break every day. But I think they're still scared of using that term gamer because of all these connotations that it has. Like, well, it doesn't have to have those connotations, right?
Well, I mean, that's what it's kind of bleeds into a subject that Michael Abbott has talked about for a little while, called game shame, where you just don't really talk about your enthusiasm for video games in mixed company, as it were.
I just think that to some extent you have to be proudful of the medium of a medium that you really appreciate. And I get it, you know, not everyone sees their gaming habits or their media consumption habits as indicative of anything about their personality or their personal identity, right? There's some people who play a game on the weekend, but, you know, most of they consider themselves something else. Well, yeah, but at the same time, there are a lot of people who take games very seriously and it makes up a large portion of their life. And I just don't see the problem in associating themselves with that form of entertainment by calling themselves a gamer. You know, if you feel as though that gaming makes a part of your identity and you love the act of play and thinking about it, then by all means, like, wear that badge and wear it with pride. Why should we be scared of it?
I think we're scared of it because we all in the community we see how dark that can go.
Yeah.
Like when you become obsessed with it, basically, and that's the only thing that you talk about. A while back, it was last year, there was a little bit of a kerfuffle on the internet when some people were talking about how uncomfortable PAX makes them. Mm-hmm. Because it's you're around this hyper-enthusiastic set of people, and if you feel like you're kind of losing touch with reality at certain points. Like, there's nothing you do besides play games. You know, it's the sole defining aspect of your existence. And I think that's what people are a little bit scared of, myself included. I mean, you know, video games are one of the core aspects of my life, but because that's still kind of a strange thing in this world, I don't necessarily go out of my way to advertise that because I don't want to necessarily be pigeonholed.
Yeah.
You know?
I can see what you're saying there. One is, I think that at something like PAX, like we discussed in that podcast, I think it's fine. You know, for a lot of people, maybe a lot of people living in the Midwest or something, they don't encounter large communities of fellow gamers. And so PAX give them an opportunity to focus solely on that. And that's their right. They should do that as much as they want. At the same time, when I tell people that I, you know, write about games or I podcast about games, there are many times when people will just start yammering on and on and on about games that I've never played. You know, that maybe they played Mario 3 years ago and they just want to talk about Mario for an hour. And it's fine, and I want to humor them and make them feel welcomed, but at the same time, maybe I want to talk about politics or maybe I want to talk about something else. So,
well, are these people that play games or are these people that are just trying to, like, they found a common thing and they want to
relate to you? I mean, it's both, but usually it's someone who, you know, they've played a few games, but they're not a gamer. You know, in that sense, they're not someone who sees it, but, you know, they almost want to, you know, they see that easy connection and people want to quickly make a connection with someone. And so and I get it. Like, you don't always want to be in that situation. You don't want to have to be the spokesman for, you know, the entire community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. I think, you know, some of it is people just, from a good-natured perspective, just trying to make a connection with you. And you know, if they think that you're into video games, well, that's, you know, like that one uncle that you only see during Thanksgiving every single year. Like, what else are you going to talk to him about? And he's like, oh, hey, George, I heard you like Skyrim. Huh? I saw a commercial for that. You know, it's like he doesn't really know anything, but he's just trying to, you know, make the time.
Well, he took an arrow to the knee, so.
Oh, God. See, that's the thing.
What?
That's why I'm scared of being labeled.
Because of gaming, because, like, pop culture in-jokes?
Well, that is because who else would get that joke, right? Who else? Like, our parents would look at us like we're maniacs. Most of our friends would be like, oh, that's just Scott and George being weird again. And those are our friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, our friends are pretty nerdy and, as you know, along the nerd spectrum. And so it's like, well, who are we communicating with? Like, this smaller and smaller group of niche people? Like, well, it's becoming a...
It's getting a larger and larger. I mean, isn't that what we're establishing? Like, it's not getting smaller and smaller. More people are playing.
I just feel like the proliferation of games and, like, the types of different games, it makes it harder to have, like, a single canon, and so you'll just splinter further and further into these little niche groups, basically.
Yeah, but you're not going to be... I mean, you might call yourself a Skyrimmer one day. Who knows? I don't know. But...
That's illegal.
And then again, this is where I go back and forth, because part of me says, well, there are no cultural similarities that we have anymore. We could just abandon that. So what's the point of using this term gamer? But at the same time, like, I think that even if you're really into Pokemon and that's all you play, but you're really into it, then you could be a gamer as much as I can be a gamer who rarely plays Pokemon. And I think that to some extent we would be sharing some common interest, right, in this act of play, in this act of appreciation of games or what have you.
So maybe it's more of a, I don't know what you'd call it, like a mental approach, some kind of heuristic device or something. Like, because even people who are inclined to find the systemic elements in life, whether they're min-maxing The Sims or counting frames in Street Fighter you know, raising or catching every single Pokemon, finding every single Skulltula in Zelda, like, maybe that's what it is. You know, that's what a gamer can be. It's an approach, like a rules-based approach to life. And that's, you know, video games indulge that because they're very rules-based activities.
Yeah. Although then someone who's really into stories and games will totally disagree with you there.
I know. I mean, that's true. But, like, again, I guess, I don't know. I don't know where to draw that line. I feel like the stories based thing, I don't want to really ignite this whole narratology ludology argument again, but I mean, like, the story based thing could easily be writers and readers rather than players, right? Because you could include, because we include board games in a lot of our discussions.
Yeah, so the board game thing's a good idea, I think, because there, even amongst the gamer name, you could have differentiation, right? Like, you could be a board gamer if you wanted mm-hmm. to be, or you could be an iPhone gamer, theoretically.
Right.
And I don't know if adding those to the gamer catalog makes it any worse.
Well, I mean, in your, maybe what you were saying for, like, reclaiming the word, you can just dump all of that stuff into the gamer term, and then it would dilute the more Spike TV aspects of what the term has turned into.
Yeah, and I think you could. But again, there are people who exclusively play board games and don't see themselves as a gamer per se because they don't play video games and they keep the two very separate in their minds. Mm-hmm. And you could probably say the same thing about iPhone gamers.
Yeah, and you know, that's actually kind of one of the reasons why I don't like using the term anymore, because so many people that I would consider as part of that community now that things have gotten so much more expanded and diverse, they don't necessarily want to take on that word. So I'm fine with just leaving it behind, basically.
Right.
Like, I don't want to bring them into a realm that they don't really want to be in, especially if it's going to scare them away.
You don't want to, like, say, you're a gamer, and they're like, no, I'm not. And you go, yes, yes, you are. Sorry, you can't help it.
One of us.
One of us. T-bag. Yeah, I get that. But
because I feel like it might scare them off, you know, like, I'm not actually a gamer. I just play The Sims for 50 hours a day, you know.
Like, but I think that's the difference between self-identifying as something and having someone else identify you as such, right? Mm-hmm. I think the term gamer is a form of self-identification that we shouldn't necessarily
see. And I feel like it's morphed into an imposed identity.
But it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be, but at this point, I'm more, I guess I'm just more cynical. Like, yeah. I'm just more like, oh, well, you know, burn it, leave it.
Well, like, I can compare it to, and, you know, I think that it's helpful to think about this in terms of titles in the form of, like, passions or professions, right? Like, if mm-hmm. you're a welder, that's what you do professionally, you're a welder. Uh-huh. That doesn't mean you're some, like, you're not necessarily representative of all welders. Maybe you uh-huh. do underwater welding. Maybe you do other, you know, and maybe welding's a weird profession to pick. But there's, you could be a writer, for example. And there's a huge difference between being a sports writer and being a writer for, say, you know, Cosmo or something, uh-huh. right? And so there's still a lot of variance even within that term, but it's not like, oh, man, this term writer is absolutely useless. Like, you're just defining mm-hmm. basically what people do on, I guess, in this case, professionally. But we don't even have to be professional about it. We could choose other hobbies that people do but self-identify as such. Like runners, for example. Mm-hmm. There's a large community of people who call themselves runners. What exactly do they share culturally with other people? They like to run? I mean, come on. Like, there's nothing really there that is as tightly bound as, say, something like video games, right? At least I know that people who are really into games have probably played some of the same AAA games as me, have read the same stories, and we can have conversations about them. People who run have running meetups. They run together. There's competitions. There's events. There's events where they go to where they don't run. But they still consider themselves part of that same community. And you could say the same thing about people who knit, right? There's a large knitting community. There's a bunch of other people who self-identify with the title associated with their hobby. And it doesn't mean that they're all one thing or the other. So why can't gamer just be that, right? Like, we're people who play a lot of games. So what?
Yeah, that's a pretty convincing argument. I think the only thing that I could... that would still make me uncomfortable about it is that I feel like it's kind of happened backwards almost. You know, something like running is so specific that there's only one, you know, there's one basic thing that ties everyone together. Something like writing is so diverse that pretty much anyone can fit under the umbrella. But gamer, you know, started congealing around, you know, the 80s kid who kind of lost himself in the arcades, and, you know, a young white male likes killing thing type games. And then now it's kind of expanding. Like, it didn't start as a huge thing and then get more specific. Right. I feel like it started as a stereotype and is now it's much harder to undo, to kind of make a stereotype useful than it is to start with a very broad thing, encompassing thing, and then start narrowing it down, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. But, I mean...
It depends on how much you want to work for yeah. it, I guess, you know?
And that's, again, I think that's part of it, right? I think it can change, but you're right. Like, there's a lot of stereotypes that come with it. I think there are other communities that have been growing, like knitters, for example. Like, knitting is cool now. Like, people do, like, urban knitting and knit things to go over parking meters and stuff. Like, there are there are knitting groups that are very progressive and, like, political about their knitting acts, which is so strange compared to what knitting might have been like in the 50s, you know?
Well, I mean, I think knitting has, and other trade-style groups of that same ilk, have something over video games in that there's something tangible created out of it.
Right.
And to explain to someone why video games are important to be into is a much harder task because you're not creating a physical object. Like, there's no product, basically, in the traditional physical sense. And so, you know, people, it took a long time for people to look at something like film as something that you could major in college, basically. Yeah. But now if you say that, people accept it. Like, oh, okay, that is a socially sanctioned thing to be into because art is good and so forth.
Yeah.
But, like, video games are still kind of fighting that battle with certain people, you know?
The thing, too, is you get... I think this film example is great, right? Because everyone watches movies, by and large. Occasionally you meet people who say, oh, I don't watch movies, and you go, like, what? You're insane, right?
Yeah.
But I think that there's still a differentiation between, like... I don't really know what the term is, but like a film goer or a cinephile, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
And that differentiates them from other people who just go see Transformers when it's out in theaters, right? They pay attention to films in the process of being made. They know directors. They know a bit more about the style of production and how that affects their viewing experience. Or maybe even they take their viewing experience seriously and only go to certain theaters or see certain genres that they feel lend themselves well to that theater experience, right? Mm-hmm. Those people are different from film watchers. And you hear a lot of these arguments that are like, oh, well, in the future, everyone's going to be playing games, so the term gamer is going to be useless. I don't think that's true. Like, just because everyone does something doesn't mean that there aren't people who do it more seriously or do it more passionately, right? Like, everybody reads to some extent, but there are also people who do reading book clubs. And maybe they don't call themselves reading book clubbers because the term is silly and
it's just clunky. Yeah.
But I think that if you were to say, well, this is something I got to do and something I take very seriously, then you could differentiate them from those other people.
I think that's a really good point. I mean, because you basically just described us.
Right.
Like, everyone plays video games, but not everyone writes about them every week, podcasts about them, goes out of their way to search out new and different, you know, non-traditional things. And so, like, we are, I guess
we're gamers, Scott. Like,
we are no. So maybe it's just the language that I'm getting hooked up on. I mean, the one other thing that I would like to bring up is that one of the reasons I resisted a little bit is because I am very wary about how it's used as a marketing term.
That's true, yeah.
And so, you know, there's some of the most obvious examples are like when, I forget what company did this, but like when they put out Gamer Grub, you know, and you know, the Mountain Dew style lifestyle that just kind of cashes in on video games and the stereotypes surrounding them is like over-caffeinated and you know, over salted snacks, like that's and we use it as shorthand for a certain type of lifestyle, and it's really easy to kind of be used as a marketing term, which gets back to the Spike TV
thing. And I'll give you that quite a bit, because you know, I think that you don't have to argue, like you were saying with the knitting circles, right? They're producing something, but we're not producing something. We are consuming something, and that inherently makes us a marketable group. And that's dangerous for that term specifically. And it's weird because I think something like a cinephile, you don't get as many, you know, marketers don't care about people who go see niche films in tiny theaters, right? They care about the thousands of people who only go see Transformers. That's their target demographic. But
they want to get Pepsi in there as like a, you know, a spot advertisement inside the movie.
But how do we include ourselves in this group that is being marketed schlock? And I mean, I guess you could say, well, either we could reclaim the word or we could think of a different word. Because I do think that having a word is useful. And I've heard some people bandy around the term ludophile, you know, as a sort of cinephile. And I can appreciate it while at the same time thinking, well, that's a little pretentious, right? We're also sort of excluding now the gamers. Like, why, you know, someone doesn't have to play Catherine, you know, in order to be a ludophile. They could only be playing Pokemon, you know, or they could only be playing Call of Duty. I'm fine with being lumped in with some people who like to teabag. But at the same time, I agree with you. I'm wary of being targeted and allowing the sort of that a culture to be created that is a consumerist culture around a hobby that I really like, you know? Like, imagine if, like, knitting circles started being sold, like, I don't know, really terrible products or something.
Yeah, or products tangential to their, like, to their hobby of choice, you know, like the Mountain Dew example. Or it's just weird, you know? It's part of a lifestyle rather than the actual thing that you are into. Right. And so that, which is why I continue. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe this conversation is swaying me a little bit more towards gamers. Like, we could reclaim it a little bit.
Well, what would you prefer?
I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I keep on using players because, like, everyone when they play a game, whether you are a gamer, ludophile, whatever we want to call it, whether you're really into the genre, the medium, or whether you are casually into the medium, you are a player when you're engaged in the game.
Yeah, but Scott, players has already been claimed.
Well, just because...
Players got to play, man.
Don't hate the player.
I mean, but seriously, like, that we already have a negative association with player. I don't know if that would work.
I don't think that... I think player is the more fringe term than we... I mean, maybe not in our circle, but I mean, I think anyone can be a player in, like, a sport or a hobby, you know, even a card game. Like, would we consider people who play professional poker gamers? Like, you know, it's essentially the same thing as a board game. It's a card game, you know, like it's really that much different than Magic or something.
Well, I mean, at this point, that's why it's sort of a self-identification term, right? I think a lot of people who play poker don't call themselves gamers. They call themselves poker players, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But there are people who play Go, for example, and they might call themselves gamers because Go is a very serious and systems-based game. And to some extent, I'm fine with that. I don't want to argue over who can self-identify with that term or not, or who's incorporated in that culture, because really it's about, you know, the types of conversations and the types of experiences you're willing to have and be open to, right? I mean, if all you do is play Go, I might be able to have a good conversation with you about something that's not Go. You know, maybe we could talk about Civilization and the way that Civ 5 is similar to Go in some respects. So who knows? Maybe, yeah, go for it. If you want to call yourself a gamer, that's fine. But if you were to ask me, oh, George, well, what is a gamer? I would probably not include them in my rough assumption about what a gamer is. But again, that's why I think it's more important as a self-identification tool than it is as a sort of, you know, moniker for absolutely everyone in the niche, even though it's useful, I think, in that way.
So does this mean this is where you make your stand? This is where you start fighting?
Well, I didn't actually start the podcast as the sort of hero of the term gamer, but now it kind of, yeah, I think so.
Well, I mean, you're raising the flag, and I don't know, somewhat of an attractive message here, because I started the conversation firmly against the term, because I felt like it had just been sullied beyond salvation. Right. And now, well, maybe, you know, your argument about self-identification, and definitely the argument about moviegoers versus students of the medium, you know, that's a pretty compelling argument,
right?
I think.
And, you know, the other point I want to make is these terms aren't mutually exclusive. Like, you could be a runner and a gamer. There's no problem with that. So if anything, we could have more, like, bring them on. We could have more gamer things. If you want to be a board gamer or a poker gamer or whatever... or a poker trainer, right? I guess it would be the proper term. Then by all means.
That's a whole nother term that would be much harder to reclaim.
I mean, they're not mutually exclusive, like all self-identification. So, you know, I guess I'm for it. Yeah, sure.
So should I introduce? It's weird because my coworkers know, they kind of know that I am really into video games, but they joke around with me that I am not a nerdy nerd, basically. Yeah. And I make those jokes to them, like, you know, they ask, you know, like, what do you do? You know, you should talk with this person because he's really into video games, like, and I'm like, yeah, we'll shuffle around together looking at our shoes and shrugging, yeah. You know, like, because I know those stereotypes, so I think it's I feel like knowing those stereotypes and kind of confronting them when you talk with people about it, just acknowledging that you know those stereotypes exist, helps diffuse a little bit of that tension.
As long as they're in on the irony, right? Like, you don't accidentally want to make them agree with it. I mean, the same could be said stereotypes, right? Like, I could joke about, like, Mexican stereotypes and all, but if I do it and someone thinks I'm serious, that's when things become a problem.
Right, right. And that's why I don't wear my silken Goku Screed shirt.
Oh, man.
See, but that's horrible because I don't want to, like, come down too hard. You know, it's like, you wear whatever you want, but, like, there's definitely various stereotypes associated with it that I'm not necessarily, you know, we shouldn't lump everyone into.
Right, right. This sort of brings up the issue of now that we know what the stereotypes are and that they're selling a term that is potentially useful, the people who are fulfilling the stereotypes, like, are they a problem for this culture now? Like, are they...
Right.
I don't know.
Should we start, like, really actively going after Spike or the people that give Spike traction in the media or attention?
Yeah, you know? I mean, I definitely think that if a majority of gamers, if you will, dislike what Spike is doing, then yeah, we should definitely let Spike know that what you do does not represent me and I don't appreciate that. At the same time, like, when it comes to individuals and what their own actions are doing, you know, I guess the best you can do is claim that we are a diverse community, but that we do share something because there's a use in that.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird that how this has revolved more and more around, like, the initial Spike example that came from the top of the article. But I feel weird when I read people kind of complaining about the VGAs or whatever, where it's like, you know, just don't stop paying attention to them and try to target their audience rather than Spike themselves. Because if you can kind of win over some of the people that think that on-air teabagging is, like, a really hilarious idea and kind of bring them around to a more nuanced view of what they like to do, you know, as video games...
Right.
It'd be a lot. Your time would be much better spent trying to broaden their horizons and trying to kind of include them in the culture rather than just railing against someone that is serving the lowest common denominator. Because they'll always do that.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
You just need to change the lowest common denominator.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as the majority of people are like, oh, well, you know, I'm not really going to buy balls. I'm not going to buy Gamer Grab. Well, then, you know, people are going to stop doing it.
That problem kind of solves itself.
I mean, and to, you know, to sort of provide a counterexample of what I was saying earlier, there are some people that really do advertise the market towards cinephiles, you know? Like, the Alamo Drafthouse takes what they do very seriously, and they want to invite people to the theater who are, I guess, cinephiles and not people who want to text on their phone while they're watching Keanu Reeves suck at acting, you know?
How dare you slander Keanu Reeves? A little subtle dig in there. You're such a cinephile, George.
Well, you know, I like that Keanu listens, so.
Looking down your nose at Keanu. Well, I think we've sufficiently offended pretty much everyone and anyone we could have alienated in this podcast.
That's my hope.
We've also declared ourselves gamers, too, so we can, like, we can include ourselves in that.
It is writ in audio format.
Well, maybe I'll go forward. Maybe I'll go forward wearing it loud and proud for the next couple articles or whatever that I write. It'll be an experiment.
Good, good. And wear those t-shirts with game things on them.
Yeah, I'm going to wear my Cake is a Lie t-shirt just 24/7 at work.
You know, to be fair, I have some gamer merchandise that I'm quite proud of. So.
Well, I mean, subtlety is key, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm about ready to get a Triforce tattoo on my hand yet, but, you know, I'll take it day by day.
All right, all right.
If you have any thoughts or suggestions, maybe possible tattoo examples for me, experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And, of course, experiencepoints.net is the website. Come on by, read our articles. Popmatters.com, we also write over there. And leave a review on iTunes for us.
Cool. Until next time, everyone, take it easy.
Bye-bye. Time we